When we were together one evening, I read Goethe's Roman Elegies to her. Then I put the book down and improvised a few things. She appeared satisfied. Indeed, she hung on my every word, and her bosom trembled. Or was I mistaken? The rain throbbed mournfully against the panes. The fire in the hearth crackled with a wintry snugness. I felt so much at home with her. For an instant, I had lost all respect for the beautiful woman, and I kissed her hand, and she put up with it. Then I sat at her feet and read her a little poem that I had penned for her. Gracious, devilish, mythical lady, put your foot upon your slave, stretching out your marble body under myrtles and agaves. Yes, and now more. This time I had really gotten beyond the first stanza. But that evening she ordered me to give her a manuscript. I had no copy, and today, when I am writing on the basis of my journal, I can remember only that first stanza. It was a curious sensation that I was experiencing. I did not believe that I was in love with Wanda. At least, I had felt nothing of that flash of lightning, that kindling of passion at our first meeting. But I did sense that her extraordinary, truly divine beauty was gradually laying magical snares around me. Nor was I developing an emotional attachment to her. It was a physical submission, slow, but all the more thorough. My suffering increased every day, and she merely smiled. Today, for no apparent reason, she suddenly said, "You interest me." Most men are so ordinary, with no elan, no poetry. But you have a certain depth of enthusiasm, above all an earnestness that pleases me. I could grow fond of you. After a brief but intense storm, we walked over to the meadow and the Venus statue. The soil was steaming all around, mists rising into the sky like fumes from a sacrifice. A shredded rainbow floating in the air. Trees still dripping, but sparrows and finches were already flitting from branch to branch, twittering pertly as if supremely delighted about something, and everything was imbued with a fresh scent. We couldn't walk across the meadow, for it was still soaked, glowing in the sun like a small pond with the goddess of love rising from its rippling surface. Around her head, a swarm of gnats was dancing, radiant in the sun and hovering over her like an aureole. Wanda enjoyed the charming scene, and since there were still puddles on the benches along the path, she leaned on my arm in order to rest a bit. She was suffused with a sweet fatigue, her eyes half shut, her breath grazing my cheek. I took hold of her hand, and I truly don't know how I managed. I asked her, "Could you love me, madam?" "Why not?" she replied, and her calm, sunny gaze alighted on me, but not for long. A moment later, I knelt before her, pressing my flaming face into the airy muslin of her robe. "Why, Severin," she cried, "this is indecent." But I seized her small foot and pressed my lips upon it. "You're getting more and more indecent," she cried, freeing herself and striding quickly towards the house while her darling slipper remained in my hand. Was that an omen? The whole next day, I did not dare approach her. Toward evening, when I was sitting in my gazebo, her piquant little head with its red hair suddenly emerged through the green garlands of her balcony. "Why don't you come up?" she impatiently called down to me. I scurried up the stairs. But once there, I again lost heart and I tapped very softly. Instead of saying, "Come in," she opened the door and stood on the threshold. "Where is my slipper?" "It is, I have it." "I want," I stuttered. "Get it, and then we'll have a tea and we'll chat." When I returned, she was busy with the samovar. I solemnly placed the slipper on the table and stood in the corner like a child awaiting its punishment. I noticed that her forehead was slightly contracted, and there was something rigorous, domineering about her mouth, something that fascinated me. All at once, she burst out laughing. "So, you're really in love with me?" "Yes, and I'm suffering more than you think." You're suffering, she laughed again. I was indignant, embarrassed, destroyed. But it was all quite useless. Why? She went on. I'm fond of you. Very fond of you. She gave me her hand and beamed at me in an exceedingly friendly way. And you want to be my wife? Wanda gave me a look. Yes. What kind of look? A look, I believe, mainly of astonishment with a trace of scorn. Where did you suddenly muster all this courage? She asked. Courage? Yes, particularly the courage to take a wife, and especially me. She raised the slipper aloft. Have you made friends with it so quickly? She said, alluding to the German expression for a hand-pecked husband. Pantoffelt. Slipper hero. But, joking aside, do you really want to marry me? Yes. Well, Severin, this is serious business. I believe that you love me, and I love you too. And even more important, we interest each other. There is no danger of our getting bored all that soon. But you know I'm a frivolous woman, and that is precisely why I take marriage very seriously. And if I assume obligations, I want to be able to abide by them. But I'm afraid... No. You're sure to be hurt. I beg you to be honest with me, I countered. Well, to be honest, I don't believe I can love a man longer than... She tilted her little head gracefully to one side and pondered. 1 year, I said? You must be joking. A month, perhaps. With me, too? Well, with you. Two, perhaps. 2 months? I screamed. 2 months. That's a very long time. Madam, that's more than an antiquity. You see? You can't stand the truth. Wanda walked through the room, then leaned against the fireplace and gazed at me, her arm resting on the mantelpiece. What am I going to do with you? Whatever you like, I answered, resigned. Whatever gives you pleasure. How inconsistent, she cried. First you want me as your wife, and now you give yourself to me as a toy. Wanda, I love you. Then we're back to where we started. You love me and want me as your wife, but I don't care to remarry because I doubt that my and your feelings will be permanent. What if I want to take the chance? I rejoined. Then it all depends on whether I want to take the chance with you, she murmured. I can well imagine belonging to one man for life, but it would have to be a total man. A man who commands my respect, who subjugates me with the power of who and what he is. Do you understand? And every man, I know this, turns weak, pliant, ridiculous as soon as he's in love. He puts himself in the woman's hands, kneels before her. Whereas I can love only the man before whom I would kneel. But I've grown so fond of you that I want to try it with you. I plunged to her feet. My goodness, you're already kneeling, she taunted me. That's a good start. And when I stood up again, she continued. I'll give you 1 year to win me over, to convince me that we are suited to each other and that we can live together. If you succeed, I'll be your wife, Severin. A wife who will perform her duties rigorously and conscientiously. During this year, we will live as if in a marriage. The blood rushed to my head. Her eyes likewise suddenly blazed up. We will live together, she went on. Share all our habits in order to see whether we can find ourselves in one another. I grant you all the rights of a husband, an admirer, a friend. Are you satisfied with that? I have to be, I guess. You don't have to be. Then I want to. Excellent. That's the way a man speaks. Here is my hand.